Blog Talk Radio.
WrestlingFansSpeakOut.com. Upcoming events, news, and all that good stuff. And of course, you can look for us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and also subscribe to our videos on YouTube. And you also check our shows on YouTube as well. And there y'all go. There we go. I had to give my dog some water. So before we go on, I know I didn't talk much about Raw last night on the show, but let's just get on to it a bit. Overall, I thought it was a decent show for it. You know, the night after the pay-per-view, whatever. And I think it could have been a little bit better, but hey, well, you know. And I guess Brock was there last night, but they didn't use him, so I guess it had some difference between him and WWE. That's probably why they didn't use him. But hey, it's WWE for you. So without further ado, we're going to get to our guests right now. So let everybody know who you are and just explain what you do.
Hey, what's going on, Archel? What's going on? Going on, Clapback audience, this is Rockin' Reed Sports coming all the way from Levittown, Pennsylvania. I am a 26-year wrestling fan, and I am involved in many groups, including Wrestling Commentary Central, of course, WSSO, Revolution Wrestling Fans, Wrestling Nation, amongst others. I am also our resident historian, because I always bring up all of our facts and stuff, so pretty much anything that, most of the time, anything that you need to know wrestling related, odds are you're going to come to me for it.
Right, exactly. And I know you talk about, sports as well, so you do a little bit of that as well, right?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, recently do a little sports blog here and there as well, focusing on all four sports as well. Also do a little boxing on the side, so.
Yeah, sure. You be a ring announcer. You can find an independent wrestling on Federation down by you or something.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd probably get something going on if I got into it. But one of the things I also like to do is also like to write about it at the same time, because a lot of fans that I often talk to, they often try to get into past wrestlers and stuff. So maybe they get to see somebody that they see, but they don't know about how they were before they hit WWE or something. So usually I'd back them up with that little aspect and hook them up with a couple clips or two.
Right, because there's a lot of people that that started from the indies and WWE. Then they got WWE got their own guys they built from the. Normally they had their FCW, but now they do train them at the Performance Center and work them up to NXT, then go to the big league. So, in your opinion, what do you think would be better for people to come from, starting from the indies or starting from, the company, but on the lowdown, if you know what I mean?
No, there's advantages for both ways, because as far as the indies go, you're, getting your feet wet. And occasionally you're going to run into a guy that's gonna help you that's actually been in the WWE or been to TNA or WCW, something like that. So you're going to talk to a guy that's been there. But as far as which is the better of the two, there's advantages for both. Because even if you're starting in on, coming in at NXT or whatever, you're at least getting that aspect of knowing, all right, I'm on TV every week. So I know I'm going to have to really come out here bold. Plus, I'm in front of a pretty decent-sized audience. Yeah, so I know, they're going to be monitoring my every move, because once you get to, WWE and TNA, that magnifying glass is going to turn into a giant microscope. So, any move you make, it's going to be focused on you and focused hard.
Okay, so you're just saying just either way it'll be the way to go. So, okay, yeah, I get that. Have you been to independent shows and stuff, right?
Yes, I have. There's definitely a feel to it. especially when you look at some of the guys who are, like, maybe in the mid-card range, but they want to get to, like, main event status. There's always that hunger in them, and you'll see which guys want to go to that next level, and which guys are going to be like, yeah, just stick to your day job.
Yeah, I guess that'll be the one way to put it out there. But anybody in your area in the independent circuit, who you think will have like a good chance to like make it up there, and who you think that they gonna look at pretty soon?
Oh, as far as my immediate area goes, of course I live right near Ring of Honor, so we already know how those guys are doing. But out of somebody that I would like to see, I would definitely like to see Adam Cole. But although I don't know like what's his current status right now, is because I was hearing rumors that he had been in WWE, but I don't really like to deal with that stuff. But it's like, yeah, if Cole ever does at least get a tryout, I think he would be an awesome acquisition if WWE uses him properly. Also, Michael Bennett would be a really great source because, he's definitely somebody who could be a major, especially with the lack of like major heels in WWE now. Bennett could be like an awesome source for that. And and as far as like the tag team division could use some work. I know Jay Briscoe right now is the Ring of Honor champion, but if he and Mark ever decided, hey, Ring of Honor, we've done everything we need to do, and then it's like, let's go up to New York, head to the E. I would definitely think they will be beyond over in WWE.
Yeah, because I know they did have like a tryout before, but I think they did good, but I guess it was like mainly like the look that they have that I guess turned WWE away. So, and I guess you knew about that situation, like at the time Jay had held the title, then let it go, and now you got it back again. So that just, you know, kind of sucked. It would have been cool to see them in WWE, but I guess just right now, maybe just not the time. But speaking of times, any like wrestling shows you had caught when you in your area, like you have like a moment when it came to like when either Ring of Honor, WWE, or TNA came to town?
Actually, I got to go to one. It was actually a all-star convention a couple years ago. It was our National Pro Wrestling Day. It was at the Philadelphia Armory here. And, it was actually a combination of independent companies coming all around. And we had House of Hardcore. We had Ring of Honor. Actually, I got this. Actually, the Briscoes were in there against Steve Corina and Scum, and Jimmy Jacobs from Scum. They also had a special tournament that involved Too Cold Scorpio, and actually Scorpio actually got inducted into the Philadelphia Wrestling Hall of Fame at the end of the doubleheader. And this was like a two-show. There was like an afternoon show at 1 o'clock and then an evening show at 7. And we got to meet Too Cold. We got to meet ACH. Got to meet Hurricane, Greg Helms, Tommy Dreamer, amongst others. So it was a really cool experience.
That was cool. You got to meet like most of them on stars. Yeah. Is there any star that you haven't met yet that you want to meet?
Oh, well, of course, going back to that, going back to today, you got to meet the top two, namely Nate and Hulk, because if you were a kid in the 80s, they were the men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Also Stone Cold, if you're a 90s person, so, like, those would be my top three.
Right, and just hopefully they'll probably, you know, one day be in the area and, you know, sign autographs and meet and greets and stuff like that. But, you know, with them three, it's kind of like, well, I wouldn't say it's very rare, but it's like once in a while opportunity that you just got to go for. So, yeah, I can understand that. Well, since we into the 80s and 90s area, so I would say, which one had persuaded you the most to be like a wrestling fan or just be like all the eras?
As far as which company?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just which like era of like 80s, 90s, today or something like that.
Well, of course it would have had to been like the 80s because, yeah, because that's when I got started, like around 89, so. Yeah, and I remembered, like, the first thing I was watching was actually the build-up for the Royal Rumble. And, of course, around that time, the big storyline there was, like, the dissension between the mega powers between Hogan and Savage. And I was like, yeah, and I think a lot of people are, like, sensing something's going to go down because you always have that aspect in, like, any type of battle royal where, you can wind up eliminating your own tag team partner. And eventually that did happen. And then, of course, that's set up for WrestleMania 5 or whatever. But at the same time, I was also into the tag team scene. I was a big fan of the Rockers. And them and the Brainbusters were just, like, going at it, like, every time they were around each other, there was, like, always a double count-out or the match never even began.
So I guess mainly it was just the 80s for you.
Yeah, and then as I got along watching, of course in the 90s, I started getting into ECW. Even though technically I wasn't old enough to watch it, but that's another story another time. yeah, I really got into ECW when it was like, between the Guerrero Malenko Classic in that series, and then of course, also with the Sandman and Dreamer, Raven, Public Enemy, the Gangsters, and all Sabu and Taz and RVD and all those guys. Yeah, it was definitely something new, but it was also underrated in a way because, yeah, they were all about that hardcore extreme attitude, but these guys actually could wrestle when they wanted to.
Right, exactly. But back to ECW, although at the time for me, it was kind of hard for me. I didn't even know they existed until, like, in the maybe 2000 or something like that, when, like, Taz made his debut, then finally found, like, what channels they were showing and caught, like, some of the stuff like that. In your opinion, if ECW is still around today, what do you think the aspect of the company, like, the wrestling business today, would be like right now?
You know, if I was honest, you know, the one thing with ECW was that eventually it would have had to play out at some point because as innovative as it was, you had to remember when ECW was at its popularity, it was in that shock TV era, you know, where Jerry Springer was hot and Cops was now just going from like ordinary show to like the Uber show and all that, so it was like, and plus Howard Stern was like starting to hit his peak as the real king of all shock media and all that stuff, so ECW would have only been like a fad, pretty much. But it became like a cult following, and its legacy still lives on because of guys like Jericho and Eddie and Ray and Psychosis and anybody that's been in there in the past, Lance Storm, Just Incredible. So ECW definitely left its legacy and impact still going. Of course, how can I forget Paul Heyman?
Right. But I guess, like, because I know there are some people still missing. I know TNA every now and then used to do their, like, tribute to ECW, do, like, a one pay-per-view type of thing. So that's why I kind of mentioned that, because I know that there are still people out there today that wish that it was still around, like WCW as well. So what do you think about WCW? Like, should that could have kept going, or it just ran its course as well?
Now, actually, WCW, I have been the most critical person about, because they should have been doing what WWE was doing before Vince took over from his pop. I was like, because you had a Ric Flair, you had the Road Warriors, you had Dusty Rhodes. Between the four of them alone, you could have taken WCW to a whole nother place, to a whole nother level. But what happened with them, and I got to give a shout out to my boy Colin for bringing this up to me. And I was like, WCW got hit because some of their fans down in like the South, like in Atlanta, Carolina, like Greensboro, North Carolina, and stuff like that, when they were trying to move Starrcade and trying to take it to other cities outside of Greensboro, but yeah, like some of those fans started getting a little hostile about that, because Starrcade was their thing for the first couple years. And when they were moving it to places like Atlanta and Chicago and all that, then, they got a little hot about that. So I felt like, in a way, WCW was kind of like in a no-win position, because the Southern fans felt like, oh, if they tried to move out to somewhere up north or out west, they were being alienated. But if WCW stayed too local, then it's like they were never going to progress. They were going to always look like a glorified indie company.
Right, and I think that wasn't the thing that they was trying to do. Like, they was really, like, trying to spread out. So, yeah, I guess I can understand, like, why they made the moves that they did. And, yeah, and I think, like, if they would have been around, they probably would have been, you know, still up there as well. Now, like, back to WWE. Would you think, like, if all three of those companies still existed today, and the other two, like Ring of Honor and TNA, and plus you got Lucha Underground right now, and you got New Japan Pro Wrestling, they finally on TV, so do you think all of them will still, you know, the goal is this, or whatever is going to happen with that situation? So do you think they still would have been, you know, going on as it is right now?
That's kind of hard to say, because, you know, like once you had like so many things like go wrong in your companies, it's like, yeah, it's almost hard to come back from. And where I think if I can use WCW as an example, when they had the whole NWO thing, it was like you were chasing half of your younger stars and newer stars out. And it was like, And I was like, if anything, that was what made you hot in the first place, was bringing in the Benoits, the Malenkos, the Jerichos, the Eddie Guerreros, Rey Mysterios, Alex Wrights, and pushing all that new young talent. And it was like, then once you brought in NWO, it was like, you just said the hell with everybody else. And if I can even use TNA to a point, when they brought out, when they started reusing all the former WWE and WCW stars, instead of like pushing your AJ Styles, their Chris Daniels, their AMWs and all that, and like let all those guys fall off by the wayside. And then, of course, moving away from the six-sided ring, which they did bring back, but way too late, is like, you kind of already put the dagger right in the heart right now.
So, with TNA, as you mentioned, that they finally did bring back the six-sided ring, with the TV deal they got right now and all the other stuff they got going on, and plus with the new camera angles and I guess a little bit of more of a storytelling, I don't know if it's better or not. My opinion is just like, we just got to wait and see. And to me, it's not that bad so far. But do you think that TNA can recover from its losses when it was on Spike TV?
I want to be honest, like, they've been floating, but they'll be all right, but they're not going to recover from what they had, because going to Destination America is actually a step backward. Yeah, because compared to Spike, which, although, like, I have been hearing, like, some people have been having issues with their cable provider dropping Spike. So who knows?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've been hearing like a lot of people, like throughout the United States, been saying like their provider like had been dropping Spike or whatever. So it was like, so it would have been a loss to some areas, but yeah, if I had a choice between Destination America and Spike, yeah, I would have preferred that TNA would have stayed on Spike, because at least that's a network that people know.
Okay, yeah, I get it. The ones that is the station that they don't know with Destination America. Okay, I know we got like a couple of minutes left. If we go over time, for everybody that's watching, if we go over time, just give it like about 10 minutes for it to be on there, and you can re-listen to the whole thing again, so just hopefully y'all stay tuned for that. So we probably gonna go a little bit over time, so let's just do that. If you ran like TNA, what would you change compared to what it is, what they're doing right now?
If anything, I would actually take a step back and do what they were doing when they first started. New talent every week. I would definitely focus on, I would definitely like make the X division, like do the X competitions, like the World X Cup, where they brought in Team Canada and Japan and all of them. Tag teams. Yeah, I definitely like what they did with the with the Wolves and the Hardys and the Dudleys recently, and I was just like, or 3D, and what I would do is just like have that one series where it's like, okay, whoever the three hot teams are, yo, put them in a series and let them like determine who's the best of the best or whatever. And as far as the heavyweight titles concerned, yeah, I want to keep doing what they did with Austin Aries doing option C, and okay, if you're the X Division champion, when you get to such event, like maybe Actually, although I would change it for Slammiversary because to me that should really be the big event. With no disrespect to Bound for Glory, but yeah, as I was about to say, if you get the Slammiversary as the X Division champion, you get the choice: keep the X title or go for the World title.
Okay. Since now they got the Feast of Fire case going on, and I know that I think they're going to try to. I don't know which they're going to cash it in going soon, but I heard I'm not going to spoil it, but I know somebody. I guess it's going to be either this week or next week that's going to cash their case in. I'm not going to say who, but just from what I know, one of them did. So the aspect of Feast of Fire, that would be something you would keep when it comes to TNA, right?
Yeah, I would think so because if anything, the thing is, especially if you don't let the wrestlers know in advance because which cases are which, because I think the element of when you open the briefcase should be a total wow factor, and it was especially if you get the fire case, because it was oh man, what do I do?
Right. Well, it is kind of a little bit of a different aspect of things. Okay, but to talk about a little bit more of TNA, with Bobby Lashley, with the transition of him doing MMA and doing a little bit of TNA, would you think if you decide to bring some MMA fighters into TNA to wrestle, would you keep that same aspect? Because I know WWE, of course, they did the same thing with Brock Lesnar. He was wrestling, and now he was doing MMA and back to WWE. What do you think about if MMA fighters decide to do the transition of wrestling and be successful? So what would you think about that?
Well, we've been seeing it ever since Ken Shamrock and Dan Severn did it, back in the WWE. And then, of course, Shamrock was the original champion when TNA was under the NWA banner. So we definitely know that the guys have been in MMA and gone into pro wrestling and gone back. So, hey, bring it on. Hey, just bring it on and see what these guys can do.
Okay, and then we got time for two more questions. What WWE is doing, using some of the football players that come from college to use them in for their brand. Would you think that would be a good idea for them to keep doing, or maybe they should try something a little bit different?
Yeah, WWE, if anything, you need a little more legitimacy as far as who you bring in. You gotta have somebody that at least partially wrestled, but at the same time, you gotta bring in people that are comfortable on camera and that can entertain as well. Because truth be told, WWE perhaps gets this more than anybody. You're a professional wrestling company on television. People are gonna want you to not just be the stereotypical muscle guy or whatever, or girl. Because, ladies, I know y'all wrestle too. But it's you gotta be somebody that when you talk, people are who's this? Yeah, I ain't asking you to be the Rock or anything, but, when you talk, have people interesting. And then when you wrestle, make sure those people are spending all their time, cheering for you. Or if you're a heel booing it, but it's they're not being bored with you. They're just hey, this guy's got it. And I was I like, whether I'm supposed to like him, whether I'm supposed to hate him, I want to put my money on this guy.
Gotcha. Okay, one more question. As you see what Roman Reigns kind of did, that same transition for now being the top star, do you think, like, he's like a prime example of succeeding, or there, do you think there are still a few things, like what some people are saying today, that he still needs work?
Oh, well, see, Roman does need work, but you see, it's all a mindset with this one, because let me tell you, Roman's got an advantage that most people don't have. He has a family that eats, sleeps, breathes. They are this business. Because, and matter of fact, and especially with the WrestleMania being up in the Bay Area, which is where High Chief Peter Maivia was famous for, and that all of the Samoans and Tongans and all island wrestlers were popular up in that area. Yeah, Reigns is going to have people in his ear telling him, hey, man, this is your time. And you know what? Whatever you need to work on it, because they're giving you the ball. They won't want you to run with it. And it's like, yeah, Roman may feel a little nervous about it at first, but he's going to ease into it because his family's going to give him that strength and confidence to deliver when he needs to.
Okay. Like I said, I appreciate you being on the show and post some advice that you gave for some input and stuff like that. And I appreciate you calling in for the show, and hopefully we can do this again.
All right. Yeah, before I do, can I give a couple shout-outs real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, first want to give a shout-out to all my WFSO family, JP, Zamit. Just want to say thanks for request. Want to say hey to my boy Rob G, my Canadian connection up there. Of course, my WCC family, that's Commentary Central. Also want to give shout-outs to Ultimate Power Source Livewire and Justin Overstreet. Guys, thank you very much for allowing me to watch your matches and for giving you some advice on techniques as far as promos and stuff. And I just want to thank everybody who I'm associated with as far as wrestling goes. Thank you for 26 years of being a wrestling fan, and I hope that you guys will keep things more and keep moving towards 27 and longer.
Like I said, thank you for thank you for your time for being on the show, and like I said, hopefully we do this again soon.
Yeah, anytime, brother.
Yeah, no problem. You have a good one.
All right, take care. All right.
Like, once again, I do thank you guys for listening. And like I said, I would have done a... Hold on a second. Like I said, I appreciate y'all listening to the show. We have been getting a lot of views and a lot of viewers on this show as of late. So, well, listeners... audience, yeah, whatever the case may be, but I appreciate y'all listening to the show. It seems like the show right now is a big success, and we're going to try to get more people to be on the show, so hopefully sooner or later we'll get to reach that prospect. Starting next week, we're going to do the show twice a week, starting this coming week. It's going to be Tuesdays at the same time, 10 p.m. Central Time, and, of course, it will be on Saturdays, 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. So hopefully y'all enjoy the shows that we have for y'all during the month of March. And let me get out of here, and hopefully y'all get the channel, well, tune in to this show every week, and also WFSO Aftermath every Monday. But until then, this is yours truly signing off, and clap back, everyone.